Hey everybody, welcome to Making Sense of It All with Jesse Stakes. This episode is being brought to you by Sawgrass Finance. Growing businesses face many roadblocks as they mature, especially access to capital to fund their expansion. Sawgrass Finance is funding the growth of American entrepreneurship by providing businesses with the flexible working capital to reach their goals that they need. At Sawgrass Finance, you get your business funding today while you're building the foundation of future bankability. Learn more at sawgrassfinance.com, and don't forget to mention that you heard it here when you do. A while back, I said that we would take a few episodes and talk about some of the banking and financial services that businesses run on in today's world. One of the most important of those services is treasury services. If you're like me, the first time that you heard of treasury services, I thought I kind of understood it, but I really didn't understand what all was encompassed under that banner, and it's a lot. In a nutshell, treasury services encompasses all the cash flow management, movement, and fraud protection services that a financial institution offers. A friend of mine, Adam Hoffman, who is a professional in that field, stopped by the show to have a conversation about it. Let's jump into it. So I think treasury management is one of those things that's kind of a catch-all, like it's just the title of a lot of different services that banks offer. Can you, in a nutshell, can you tell my audience what treasury services is?
Absolutely, Jesse. Essentially, treasury management is the cash flow process of any business. We like to analyze that and look over how a business will basically optimize their financial process. This involves, maybe offering some tailored solutions to enhance their cash flow, manage risk, and even streamline their payment processes, essentially.
It was told to me one time by a mentor of mine a long time ago that essentially it's all about the cash flow cycle. It's all about the inflows and outflows of cash. Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir. Exactly. We're trying to provide efficient solutions that align with our clients' financial objectives, and just improve overall management of that.
That's excellent. Before we jump into it, and we're going to dive into kind of all things treasury management, but I really wanted to get to know you a little bit better, Adam. What made you get into banking in the first place?
Well, I didn't grow up dreaming about being a banker.
You don't say.
But, growing up, I kind of always figured I'd, follow in my dad's footsteps and look at commercial real estate. But life has a way of steering you and guiding you to where you need to be. Essentially after school, I took a job as a bank teller. And, from there, it just got better and better. I thoroughly enjoy a banking career.
That's really interesting. So you went from bank teller to, and like I said, you're the senior treasury management officer right now. How did you go from teller to treasury services? What was it that interested you about treasury management, and how'd you get there?
Gradually progressing from the different roles, I went from teller to head teller to personal banker, assistant manager, branch manager, just going through the branch really, and working my way up. I would say that the attraction was seeing all the different ways that people generate and make money, from small mom and pop type businesses to large corporations. I just really enjoyed hearing their story and just seeing how it all works from the internal view.
I couldn't agree more. I always think that that's one of the most interesting things about being in banking is that you really do get to work with a lot of different people, a lot of different businesses. And I always say you get to know a little bit about a lot of things.
Exactly. And that's very well put.
Well, and I, you know, the interesting part is that no matter how different businesses are, you know, we all utilize a lot of the same tools, especially on the in the financial sector. When you talk about cash flow and you talk about the way that people bring in money and pay out money, you know, many of those tools that they use, they might be on a grander scale if it's a Walmart versus a mom and pop, you know, retail shop, but they're still using the same tool to do the job. Yes.
Exactly.
Let's talk about that a little bit as far as, you know, what those tools actually are, because, you know, I think that people have an idea. When you say treasury services, they have an idea of what it is, or even if they utilize some of them, they kind of get it, but it's like, let's actually break it down, you know?
Touching back to the cash flow cycle, so we have services that allow businesses to send money essentially. So you have ACH origination. You have wire transfers, business bill pay, a wide variety of ways a business can send money. And then going back to receiving money, on that same note, we have our remote deposit products, the scanners, mobile apps. It's just really making customers have more control over their finances, essentially.
So let's talk about receiving rather before we start talking about giving, because everybody likes to get money before they give money. You know, when we
That's
talk
right.
about different ways that people bring in money, when you're talking about like as far as receiving money into their account, why are there, you know, there are different ways that people do it, but why? Like, what is the, you know, when we talk about different ways that the money's coming in, why do there need to be different ways? Kind of let's talk about, you know, each one of them and kind of give, you know, if you want to, like, I know we don't have to name names here because we want to keep people anonymous as far as what they're doing, but if you can kind of, you know, attach a real world situation to it and tell us, you know, kind of why people use what they use.
Sure. But I think that clients need to be able to accept forms of payment in many different ways to be competitive. They have to, cater to their clientele. And if they have a specific need, they should, decide whether that's a valuable solution for their business. For instance, if I don't know, let's say a title company maybe needs to send and receive numerous wires.
So I mean, I totally understand. So it's, you've got title companies or people that need to receive money electronically, so they're bringing in money through ACH or wires. But then, so why would somebody choose, or what is the difference, I guess I should say, between an ACH transaction and a wire transaction?
So there's numerous differences between those services. ACH, the NACHA network allows you to send electronic payments in a various different time periods. For our ACH turnaround time is next day availability. There's more protection with ACH than there are wires. Wire is the instant gratification. You send a wire that day, the bank will have it in the beneficiary account same day, usually. And then, but there's higher costs associated with wires. It really just depends on the volume of the business, what's going to be best for them, from a cost standpoint, to send and receive these, electronic payments, essentially.
So I've had customers that, you know, their customers will tell them, we do not want to receive an ACH. We only want to receive a wire. Why would that be? Is it just for the timing of the transaction? Is it just because on that wire it's instant? Or is there a different reason why somebody would want a wire over an ACH?
Absolutely. So a wire is more permanent than an ACH. So when you send a wire and it leaves your bank account, you have little control over if those funds are sent back or you can recover those funds. With an ACH, there's time periods that would allow for you to recall or return those funds if an error was made. So a lot of people prefer wires because then the person who receives those funds is now in control whether those funds get sent back.
That makes
there's
sense.
A lot of protection there with the wire.
And then on the ACH side, it's really protecting more the sender because they've got time. They have more guardrails to where in case there's an error made or in case, you know, you figure out that maybe that money went to a nefarious source or it went to the wrong person, then you have the ability to pull that back or you have the ability to pull a lever to say, hey, that was a mistake. Let's start over.
Precisely. That's correct.
Excellent. I know you guys do a lot of fraud services as well. Fraud is absolutely rampant in the banking business. I mean, we're defending our clients against it every day, all day. Tell us a little bit about what Treasury Management Services does to protect their clients from fraud.
So you really hit a hot topic. I do deal with fraud on a daily basis. It's a, you know, persistent challenge. It, you know, these cyber criminals keep coming out with these sophisticated techniques to fool us into, you know, giving our money out to them. But we do offer a service called Positive Pay, and I cannot say enough good things about it. I will say 9 times out of 10, we'll receive a call from a client, you know, interested in Positive Pay after fraud has taken place. Not always the best place to be in, but, you know, better late than never, I always say. So essentially, Positive Pay allows our clients to provide us with a list of outstanding checks or ACHs that they have pending. And once those items are presented to the bank, our system will verify that that is a legitimate item before it actually hits the client's account. You're kind of just one step removed from the fraudulent transactions, should there be any.
Interesting. I got to imagine that that's probably a service that a lot of people, if they didn't take advantage of it in the past, are probably jumping on it today.
Absolutely. More and more, I'm seeing people getting ahead of it. It's just, like you said, it's so rampant. The new digital avenues have expanded basically for cyber criminals to make these fraud attempts on our clients. So we have to constantly be updating our security measures. We are vigilant when we're monitoring our customers' finances. We don't want to lose the trust of our customers if we can't protect them from these frauds.
No doubt. Well, and again, not to name names or not to give up, you know, give up anybody here, but can you think of a story or think of a specific situation that really sticks out in your mind to where, you know, if they didn't have it in place, if they didn't have Positive Pay from the bank in place, that it could have been pretty bad for them?
Oh, absolutely. On a daily basis, our clients are approving what we call exceptions that are generated based on the information they've provided us. So when a check comes through that our system isn't able to verify, it will push it out to the client for their approval. And, you know, on numerous occasions, we have had customers stop and prevent fraud to the tunes of hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, these fraudsters will get a hold of a client's check. They will send out checks are all across the country, and it could be a very bad situation for a company that doesn't have excess operating funds to take a loss with a fraudulent check or ACH.
No doubt. I had a situation one time where, and this was not a check fraud. This was a wire fraud where we had a client. Their email, and this goes to, you know, I've had conversations before with IT professionals where they're talking about how much the IT fraud has gone up as well. When you talk about phishing and you talk about, you know, all of the different ways that people are being attacked from cybercrime. And we had somebody had their email emulated to where it looked like every email that they were sending out looked like it was coming from the CEO of the company. CEO of the company requested that their assistant put together a $50,000 wire to, you know, again, they gave a trusted name, but not the right bank account. Then they had it set up to where when the phone number that the assistant called, they had it essentially look like that CEO again, to where by the time that it went through the whole system, the money was gone, and the bank was able to require to claw back a portion of it, but it was not able to, you know, really protect that client 100%, because a lot of these things are, you know, they're triggered by the client. And if the client gives that okay, and if they do, especially when you have two layers of identification process or protection process set in place, and the client, you know, kind of follows that fraudster through the whole process, sometimes there's not a whole lot that the banks can do. So I think one of the biggest things that we can do for our clients is educate them. The more we can educate people, the more they understand all of the different forms of fraud, the different things that are going on out there, the better, because then they're going to question that transaction when it comes across, or they're going to question that communication. They're going to look at who it came from. They're going to make sure that that domain name is correct. So I think that, you know, all of the guardrails and all of the services that we put in place, I think we also have to bolster it with education and make sure that our clients, you know, that relationship with that client is very deep as well. Would you agree with that?
You hit the nail on the head there, Jesse. If you don't have good internal procedures, the bank's not going to be able to protect you if you can't even, you know, have some internal controls that protect you as well. You know, it's a team effort.
I couldn't agree more. And I also think, you know, having a relationship with their IT professionals, having, you know, understanding who are the people that they are paying to protect them on the side from cybercrime as well. The better relationship, the more open communication that we have, the better. You know, I'm going to take a pause right there because I think this is a lot, right? There's so many things to wrap your head around. People used to build castles and walls to protect what they had to hoard their treasures. And today we have digital tools, walls, and moats that do much of the same. I want to continue to bring you folks from different financial services that I think are beneficial. And if there's something in particular that you have curiosity about or that you would like to learn more about, drop me a line and let me know. That's going to do it for us today. I'll catch you guys next time.